This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Okay, so hi, I'm Richie Swan, and I am with Harriet Jeffries, also known as the Gym Beard, and we are a girl and a gay in the gym.
So this week we have got a very special guest. Our friend Sarah's coming to have a little chat with us. Now, Sarah's been in the industry for a while.
22 years.
Wow. 22 years.
23 years this year.
And Sarah has basically done it all. She's been a PT. She's done competitions. Because she's unreal.
Bodybuilding.
Oh, God, I'm not unreal anymore.
Like Stokus. And then Sarah went on to do loads of stuff about food and talking about food intolerances, which is something we haven't really talked about that much yet. So it's something we're going to touch on, and but the truth about food intolerances. And also, she's a bit of a nutrition whiz, so we've got her in to talk all about nutrition, all the way back to introducing healthier foods to your kids and babies.
So how long have you been in the industry for? Did you say 22 years?
Going on to 23 years now, this year.
And how old are you now?
30. I'm 38 in March.
How did you get into it all?
Literally, I've always been a fitness whiz, I think, since I come out with my mum. To be honest.
With a dumbbell.
Yeah, well, I come out with my mum with a dumbbell. Let me baby come out to me with a dumbbell. I've always been like active since I was like a little baby. I was a dancer from when I was up to 15, and then I wanted to stand around with my mates when I was 15. And then from when I was in school, I just wasn't asked about nothing else other than health and fitness. And then I always knew that's what I wanted to do. I literally left school when I was 16 and went to a place on Walton Vale called Women's World of Health. And done my level two.
Oh, that's where I grew up there, Walton Vale.
Yeah. It's like on County Road, Women's World Health.
Just further up,
So I was like,
she's talking about the prison.
Yeah, straight out my mum's room.
I done my level. Lovely. So when I was like 16, I done like my qualifications in exercise to music and my gym instructor, and then I went into my PT, and then I went to uni. And
how did that then transition onto nutrition?
I started like working in gyms as gym instructor, and you know, PTs, and then studio instructor, and then I always loved eating healthy, but I think eating healthy when I was 16 compared to now is just completely and utterly different. Yeah.
So you've never like gone through a phase where you just want to be a fat bitch or nothing like that? Like, I'm just asking for a friend. It's not nothing.
I've always ate healthy. I'd like to say that, but I'm not going to lie. I have ate shit as well. Do you know what I mean? But I've never been one for eating like a big, horrible, dirty diet. No. All my life.
See, do you not see, I can't help it. I can eat good all day, and then I get home and I go, I have to save this big.
It depends what mood I'm in. Like, for the past 6 months, I've just been ridiculously vile, which is why I've gone back to comprep.
But your life's changed last year. You're now a mum, isn't it?
I'm a mum.
Yeah. Baby Jackson.
Oh, God, I'm surrounded by mums. Three mums in
the room.
He's
one a week on Sunday, my little baby. In a good way, they turn your life upside down. Because, like, your priorities change from being a health freak, looking after yourself and only caring about yourself, to you don't care about yourself anymore, to looking after them. So it's, they've got to eat before you've got to eat, and we don't eat at all.
When I first met you, it was in Nuffield, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was in competition stages then. Yeah, that was, like, I was a bodybuilder from when I was 30 to when I was 30.
Like, you say you've never eaten shit, but when you tell me that you've blended chicken and drank it, to me, that is shit.
Minty, isn't it? That's when I used to eat meat. I don't eat meat no more. I haven't eaten meat for 4 years.
Hold on, let's just rewind. Did you blend the chicken with anything else?
So what I had to do was, because I had to eat like 8 times a day, and I'm talking volume of food, you'd have like 200 grams of chicken and 200 grams of sweet potatoes and 200 grams of veggie.
How many calories was that?
Like 5,000 calories a day. That was the only way I was going to build up to get on stage. So you had to like prep for 4 months. So the first 3 months was bulking. So that's what I had to eat, and it was physically impossible to sit and chew it. So I had to blend it.
So you blended it and drank it?
Yeah, so I used to put water, and then I'd put like a piece of chicken in, and I'd blend that. And then I just swig that off. and then I eat the sweet potato and the veg, and that's like, whoa, meal 10's on, next. And that's how I lived my life for 4 months.
That must have been so difficult.
I've probably been on about 5,000 calories a day over Christmas. You know, having
Quality a Street.
It was Quality Celebration.
Yeah, and I've been on the 5,000
calories. But how sustainable was that? Like,
you can't live. I put a post on my Instagram the other day about like the way I had to look at my body, and I was probably unhappy. I was unhappy in my life. Not in my life, but I was unhappy, but it was a process that you had to do to get to that. And when I very first done my first competition, and then I won, I was like, oh, I like this.
Oh, did you win it, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
And I won it, and I thought, I like this. I like the way I look.
So, when you're doing the competition, what do you have to, so you prep all...
You just have to prep your food, and that's it. You have to eat the same thing every day. You go through a, like... For three months.
Obviously, you're training. Did you have a coach and all that?
Yeah, I had a trainer. But I only had my trainer twice a week, and then the other 5 days
did you have a choreography coach as well? Like, showing you how to...
Yeah, I was a pose, and I had to, like, stick your ass. I was a little tiny sparkly bikini.
I was doing that in ours last night when I was fake tan.
The bikinis don't look like they'd fit a doll now. They don't fit me.
Did you, like, get into it, though? Like, what was it that you, like... The day where you turned around and you were like, right, I love being healthy and fit. I love eating clean, but... Do you want to get into bodybuilding?
Well, I was always fit because I was a fitness model, wasn't I, for about 8 years before that. And then...
I mean, you know, just casual, same.
I should do, but not now.
I've just flicked my extensions. You can't tell because it's a podcast, but I've just flicked
me. I tried to, but I've got none. I just flicked fresh air.
Something wrong with you, too. I think I lost my nan in the December of 2012 and stuff, and I needed a really bad, I owned my own gym at the time and stuff, and I just couldn't focus on not on. And I remember someone going to, wouldn't you ever do a bodybuilding competition? I was like, no. And they were like, but you're halfway there now with the way you look. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to give it a go. And then I got poached by one of my coaches, Nikki Robinson, and I thought, right, I'm going to do this. And it kind of made me focus and rather than grieve. Yeah. I didn't want to grieve. I wanted to think of it as it was a good distraction. Yeah, she was 90 when she died, and she had a good life. Let's not grieve. Let's be happy that she had a good life, and let's focus on the good.
So the cards have inspired you.
She wouldn't want me to have been unhappy. Yeah. No, yeah. So I kind of threw myself into it and just completely cut the world off for 4 months.
Yeah,
and I think at that time, no one else in Liverpool had done a bodybuilding competition. I felt like I had the whole of Liverpool behind me. The Echo got in touch with me. And it was like a really big like build up. And I thought, I've got to win this.
But it's not something you would associate massively with Scouse girls, though, is it, bodybuilding?
You're talking eight years ago. Yeah. 8 years ago, it wasn't known in Liverpool. So there was this big, massive hype on, oh my God, she's doing this, because I owned my nutrition businesses and stuff like that. Everyone kind of knew who I was, knew that I'd done food prep, knew that I'd done juices, and it was like, oh my God.
I knew who you were before I was ever a PT.
Yeah.
You were one of the only people I knew who you were.
Everyone kind of in the city knows what Unique Juices and Nutrition was. That was mine, and everyone knew, because I'd like to think that I was the first one in Liverpool to do a food prep business, and then everyone jumped on the bandwagon, and I thought, I can't be asked this no more, everyone's doing it. Which is why I moved more into the children's side of nutrition. Yeah. But yeah, when I'd done my competition, then I won, I thought, oh, got through to the British finals. I was like top three.
Was it bitchy, the industry? Because I could imagine
Not at that time, it weren't. No, it was very, very much inspiring. Everybody, you know, I had loads of people come to watch me, and, you know, it was just, you were on stage looking here, you just felt like $1 million, and you were the best thing ever invented.
And then what did you have for your tea after?
When I come off stage, I had a pizza and then threw up.
Did you really?
Well, yeah, because I couldn't struggle. I'd had this, you know, when you think about it, you've gone from eating that to that, and all I wanted was some sugar.
How come you stopped doing the competitions?
It was going too much. I had my shops to look at. I had three going. I had like my main shop on Eaton Road. Then I had one in a gym in town. Then I had one in a gym up in St. Helens, and it was taking over my life. And I got to a point where I was thinking, if I don't stop now, I'm going to look like a man. I was going too much into it. I was getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
It's got to give.
Well, I think you look amazing now.
Oh my God.
Never
do. I think you do. I was training. We were in the gym the other day in Harriet. Oh my God. It was disgusting.
When I had a little wee.
Wasn't it? That class. When she wet herself.
When I had a little wee.
Listen, she's had a baby.
When I went outside and I ran past him with Richie, I've just weaned myself. and he just stopped letting the out. Art file. Destroy it inside. He's amazing to look at, but I think,
no, I think you look in great shape. It's just...
Not compared to the picture I've just showed you before.
But the thing is, though, you said yourself before when you were actually talking about it, were you actually happy when you were doing that process?
Yeah,
like,
but you
are you actually happier now?
Yeah, I've had the best year of my life with my little boy, but at the same time, you've got to kind of remember yourself as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, I know we've had babies because you've just had one, and I know that they're your priority and stuff, but you've got to kind of look after yourself
a
and
bit
stuff.
Of you time
and
as well.
Me going to the gym is good for my mind and stuff, and it sets me up for the day because I'll be honest, I suffer terrible with anxiety.
Yeah.
And I don't ask me why I've got it. But everything's dead regimental in my life, and that's come from being a bodybuilder. I eat at a certain time, and I go to the gym at a certain time.
Have you seen her cleaning lists on Instagram?
Yeah.
Someone else has a bit of a OCD, and everything has to be regimented.
Everything
as well.
Has to be dead regimental in my
life. I'm having sex at 7:30.
Who with?
Luke's just sat on the rocking chair, and I was going back and forth.
Yes. We're going on to food intolerance, right? Because we were talking about this the other day, and the reason we wanted to do this episode was the amount of people who we train and they go, oh, I'm lactose intolerant, or
listen,
I've got
gluten intolerant, celiac.
Listen,
celiac, that's it.
Going back over the years of my job as 23 years of being a nutritionist, the amount of people struggling with a food intolerance now to then is just ridiculous. You know, the way I always describe it to people is, remember when you used to get the milk delivered to your front door?
Yeah.
And it'd go off the next day. That was milk. Milk now is being that diluted down to whatever they're doing in the farming industry.
It's in the fridge for a week.
It's that it's in the fridge for a week. And you think, what's going in it for it to stay so fresh for so long? Now my job, I'm a food intolerance practitioner and an allergy specialist as well. This fucking list is endless what I do for a living. And there's that many people that are suffering with the gut. And it's because of what the manufacturers and the farming industry are doing now. It's that there's not enough animals to the human population, so they've got to mess with the animals in order for us to eat and for us to drink.
Is this why you've gone vegetarian?
Well, one of the reasons I stopped having dairy as well was because I felt physically ill after all my competitions, because I ate meat 8 times a day consecutively. My last competition was done on fish, purely fish, and that was the best condition I've ever been in.
Oh, really?
My gut was clean, yeah. And, I mean, I'm not saying I'm a big anti-save the animal, although I don't agree with what they do to them, but what they're doing to the animals now is that they're artificially inseminating them with things to blow them up.
Yeah.
To get more milk out of them, to get more meat out of them. It's not real.
Yeah.
So milk, cows
get milk.
So
do you reckon that's a direct link? Is it a proven direct link? It is
a direct link, because what they're doing is they're pumping things into the animals and stuff, which is blowing them up. And the cows are getting milk done naturally. So what's coming out of them is not full pasteurised milk. It's milk. It's got steroids in it. It's got preservatives in it. It's got all kinds of like... gum.
So if I drink loads of milk, am I going to go massive?
You'll just be feeling... It's not even about you going
the steroids.
Massive. It's not even about you going massive. It's just about how you feel.
Pass
it's just
milk.
It's ruining the gut.
No, I'm
very, very... I'd like to say I'm very clever when it comes to gut health and stuff, and know what it's doing to the inside, which is why I've created my baby foods now, because the amount of...
This is what side news I've got for you. So I had this massive argument, one of the only arguments I've ever had with my grandma Jean, who we do talk about sometimes on the podcast, because she told me that it's not right that I've said that. When part of like the weaning process, when she eventually comes off milk, like powdered milk, I said I probably wouldn't put her onto like a whole milk like we all had when we were kids. I would give her something else.
Yeah.
And my grandma was like acting as if I was torturing the kids.
No, see, midwives and everything kind of old wives automatically think that formula and milk is full of calcium. There's more calcium in green veg and in foods than there is in milk now. It's a proven fact. So... When I'd just given birth to Jackson and stuff.
Sorry, what example? What kind of green veg then?
Any
just
green
for
veg,
anyone listening.
Anyone green veg. You've got cabbage, kale, spinach, broccoli, asparagus, anything that's full of calcium, sweet potatoes, anything that's come out of the ground is covered in calcium. You don't need to be drinking milk to get
and it's
calcium
higher than
from
milk,
that.
Is it?
Well, yeah, because it's natural.
Yeah.
The calcium levels in a plant-based milk as opposed to a normal milk. There's more in the plant-based milk than
that's mad, because I reckon near enough that everyone listening that to this will go, oh my God.
I'm honestly gobsmacked, and that is so good to know.
Which is why my foods that I've created, because going back to the food intolerances, I've tested thousands of babies in the last 4 years of being a food intolerance.
Is this mums who have come in with like distressed babies?
What do you do to test them?
So it's like a little finger prick of blood. So the company that I practitioner for, what it is you get a little box, it's all vacuum packed and it's a little lancet in it. So you'll take a finger prick of blood from the baby or the adult. Yeah. You fill the stick full of blood, get sent off to my lab. The lab put it under the microscope and it pulls out all the foods and tolerances.
And that'll give a breakdown.
So
of
then
what
my job then is to sit down and remove that. So say if yours come back rich with wheat, yeast, gluten, cows, and I'll go, we need to remove these four things out of your diet. Then I'll create you a diet minus.
So
them.
I was going to say,
and
do you then do a diet
plan? And then I put people on a
plan.
Course of probiotics, gut clean and things, but I can't do that yet until I know what the problem is. And again with the children, I always knew when I had a baby that was going to be me next business venture was to do baby food.
I was going to say, do you only do kids or have you done adults or do adults as
no,
well?
No, I do adult food intolerances. I do all their diets, but I think the industry is missing a good quality range of baby organic foods because, come on, let's be honest. Tell me that there's something in them baby foods that sits on a shelf for 2021. Don't tell me that it's just purely fruit and vegetables. It can't be.
So you now make your own...
So my baby food...
How do you make it?
There's literally nothing in it. And that's the God's honest truth. It's literally... Like, let's take, for instance, I've got one called Superlicious. And in it is just naan, fruits and vegetables. And that's it. And coconut milk, organic coconut milk. And that's it. Blended together, blended, put into a pouch and delivered. But my food's getting delivered fresh every week to your house.
So it has to be consumed within a period, within a week.
You're not that is, do you know what though? Because I think, especially, like, I know that I'm going to start weaning Lola in the next, 6 or 7 weeks. And the thought of, like,
doing it yourself.
Thinking, right, okay, so I know what I've got to do this, and then I've got to have a blender to be able to do this, and then need to do all that. Like, it is, it is overwhelming.
I know, I've done competitions so I can talk about competitions. I've done food prep for adults so I can prep food for them. I've been a nutritionist. The proof is in the pudding. I've had to have done it before I can sell it. And now Jackson, you may say he's been my guinea pig. So I've weaned him from when he was 4 months old. And I've put food down. And then I blended that. And thought, no, don't like that together. And I blended that together. It took me 7 months to put these ingredients together to see his taste on his face and see what works. And all the foods I've put together, they taste nice. I'd eat them myself. I would never give a child something that I wouldn't eat myself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Superlicious soup is what I eat. But blended for him, and he loves it.
So, do you know what, like, in our work, and you in the past, when you were PT, and you must come across it all the time, where people self-diagnose going, oh, I'm celiac, or, oh, I'm
gluten. How do you know that?
Like,
people are just listening too much to the internet and to blogs and to social media and thinking, oh my God, that's me, just because they're reading something. You know what I mean? People don't understand the difference between a food allergy and a food intolerance. A food intolerance takes 72 hours to show in the body. An allergy comes pretty much straight away. So let's take, for instance, a nut allergy. If you were to eat a nut and you've got an allergy to it, you'll go into anaphylactic shock.
Instantly.
You'll go into a rash, you'll go hot. That's an allergy. If you've got an intolerance to it may not come out for 3 days later.
Okay.
So let's take an example of a child and an adult. So you could eat something today and in 3 days' time, then you'll go, oh my God, I feel sick. Now, for you in your brain, you could be thinking, is it something I've just had then?
But it's not.
It could have been three days ago. Do you know what I mean? That's an intolerance. So that's where people go, oh my God, I've just stepped past it, I feel ill. It might not have been
And
the
it's
pasta.
Not, it's the kale from 3 days ago.
Yeah, it could have been the egg.
I'm cutting the kale out.
3 days ago. So how do you know? You're going to remember all those three lots of meals that you've had over those last 3 days, which it's easier with the babies and stuff because I'll say to the mums, what if you fed them for 3 days? And they'll go, well, I've only had the milk. So if I'm testing like babies and stuff like that, it's kind of... It's easier for me because they know, whereas parents are like, oh my God, I've had this. And
they haven't got a clue what they've eaten over 3 days. Could be anything.
Don't people understand what celiac is? Celiac's a really, really horrible thing, disease to have.
Yeah.
It's not just a case of let's go to the shop and get gluten-free bread.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you need to understand why you're a celiac. Do you know what I mean? It's something that comes from within the gut area that could have been there from when you were a baby and you'd never known it.
I mean, I used to self-diagnose terrible. I used to always go to, there's a very famous Italian restaurant in Liverpool called the Casa d'Italia. And I used to go and I used to have a garlic bread with cheese and then a lasagna and then used to say I was dairy intolerant and that's why I felt too sick.
Because you just all that carbs.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was because I had greedyitis.
Yeah. People, you could sit there and do self-elimination of your food and you'll end up malnourishing yourself. The same with a child. Like a girl's just messaged me on Facebook then saying, you know, I've got, my child's got this rash and I've been cutting this out. Please don't cut things out of your diet because you could end up doing yourself more harm than good.
Do you know what? I've got a question for you because I've found this with myself and quite a lot of other people. Do you know when you start training, you're increasing amount of protein you're having?
Yeah.
I bloat terrible.
It may not be off the, it may not be off the protein.
Is it not the way?
Inside some of these proteins now, of the manufactured things, there's a lot of additives, there's a lot of sugars and stabilizers and stuff like that. It might not even be to do with the whey, it might be to do with the chemicals that are inside that.
Oh, really? Because I literally blow up like a balloon around my belly. I'm like, what is the fuck's this?
For anyone that's listening that trains quite a lot, I struggle to get my protein in without having like a protein shake.
Yeah.
Is there any that you'd recommend that are a bit cleaner?
I'd just say now go on to a vegan one. And purely because it's plant-based, there's actually nothing in the plant-based ones as opposed to all these big, massive ones. There's a fella, I won't name who it is, like, because it's client confidentiality, but I had a fella who had done a food intolerance testing, and he was an ex-bodybuilder, and he was like, Sarah, I'm in absolute agony, and he was in great condition. And he said, I just feel ill, everything I eat. And I'd already tested his brother and he got in touch with me and stuff like that. And I went to his house and he went, look at this. And I'm not lying, he opened his cupboard and his whole cupboard was supplementation. Processed porridge, processed chicken, everything. Everything was oats in a container. Dried chicken in a container. He was living off powdered things. It was all chemically enhanced food. And I went, I know now you've got leaky gut syndrome. And he went, what? And I went,
what's leaky gut syndrome?
Leaky gut syndrome is when it's when your body's not absorbing any of the goodness of it, it's bypassing your gut and you're leaking it. You're not leaking.
I was thinking,
no, you're not leaking.
Does he need a foot plug?
You're not leaking out of anything. You're fine, you know. It means, if you're not actually leaking, it means your body's not absorbing any of the goodness.
So it's just passing right through.
So it's just coming out in your urine or your poo, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, we've done a food intolerance test on him. And normally the lab come back to me in like 2 to 3 to 4 days with the results. Do you take him forever? And I kept ringing him and why is this fella's results taking forever? And Sarah, the scientists in the lab have had to go over these results 3 to 4 times. They couldn't believe what they've seen in our 14 years. They've never seen a result. He had 27 food intolerances.
Oh, my God.
I've only ever dealt with 2 or 3. And he went, and I went, it's leaky gut syndrome. And he went, yeah, you need to go and see a doctor. He'd lived his life on supplementation. So what he was doing was anything that he was eating, he was vomiting it back up because his gut was just going, so no, we don't like that, we don't like that, we don't like that, we don't like that.
So his body was almost fighting against
it. His body was just absorbed, it was living off dried porridge already made in the morning, chicken already, there was not a natural, he was just, I won't name the brand company, but his whole company was just consumed by this one brand of stuff. And I went, how much have you spent on this? He went, about £500. I went, they probably made up with him. Because they're selling them all this stuff and his body was just like having leaky gut. So what I had to do was I had to stop him having that, put him on a big heavy course of probiotics, do a big gut clean thing.
So did he make himself intolerant to 24 things by bad diet?
Yeah.
Can that happen?
He never had, he was just living on, drinks. It was like, everything was a drink, chicken, like.
But can that make, do you know what I mean?
He destroyed his inside.
So that can bring it on?
Yeah. So he destroyed his inside and he had what you call leaky gut syndrome. And what that means is his body wasn't, so say if he had proper chicken, sweet potato and kale, all the goodness out of that was just bypassing his gut. He was constantly tired. He was ill. He was all the
You
time.
Know, for anyone, say, a lot of our listeners would be people that are just getting into it, or like, this isn't their life. It's just something they're kind of like thinking about and starting to get into. Would you recommend going to see someone like yourself and doing something like a course of probiotics?
What is it?
Before you start?
A probiotic is putting good bacteria into the body. Yeah. So what's doing is it's cleaning out your gut and stuff. I do loads of research every night when the baby's in bed about the gut. You know, I'd love to be it. I read all, I watch YouTube channels and everything on these big doctors in America. And, you know, everyone seems to think that cannabis oil and all this carry on is going to cure your cancers and it's going to cure your body, and it's not. It's literally, it's starting from in the gut area. You need to get that right.
Just say I was brand new, sat in front of you, and I was like, didn't know about eating healthy. What kind of tips to anyone listening would you say to start off now? Like, it's the beginning of the year, or yeah, within the first quarter of the year, like, just to get someone into a good routine.
Let's just start by drinking your water. It's dead simple. Just some water, some, you know, fruits and vegetables, for your five a day. You know, it doesn't have to be drastic like me drinking chicken. You just your basic.
I was going to say, there's about how many people at home now with the blender and the chicken breast going, this is what I have to do.
The thought of it makes me sick. You know, I don't even, like, sometimes I do miss a bit of red meat because of the iron, but I've never touched a bit of white meat in nearly coming up to 5 years. I'd vomit.
Say, like, if I'm not really a big meat eater myself, but I don't like to say that I'm anything. But do you think that there is a massive difference between, say, us like buying any chicken in the shop to organic chicken,
yes,
and any veg to organic veg?
Yeah, because this is why I've done a little test with normal veg to organic veg.
Yeah.
So my stuff comes from the big organic supermarket. I went to the farms and done my research and seen what they put in the soil and all stuff like that. So I bought normal veg and then I bought organic veg and I just left it.
Did you do that, did you?
I just left it. I just left it. It didn't touch it and do nothing. And the organic veg went off within a day or two.
Oh, really?
The veg was still there 10 days later.
Shut up now.
Because it's been sprayed with all kinds of stuff.
Do you know what, right? At Christmas, I bought, Luke always has like raspberries and blueberries with yogurt all the time. And I bought organic raspberries and then just bought the blueberries that were on the side, like whatever.
Did they go off?
No, the raspberries were growing on a farm and the blueberries were fine. And I was like, why are they fine? Like, they shouldn't be fine, do you know what I mean? Oh,
it's weird. Because what they're doing is that they're spraying them in the fields and stuff, again, to keep the shelf, like, longer, yeah, so that they can mass produce
more. They're all competing, aren't they, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, what you've got to remember is that these farmers, are like, it's their business, it's their life, so that's where they get their money from. So if they can spray it, keep it the shelf life a little bit longer so people buy more of it, which is why my food is, they will go off. All my pouches are all vacuum packed and sealed with like a clip. You know, when you open something, mm-hmm, you can air it. As soon as that opens,
you've got to eat it.
The fresh air is in it. The bacteria, that's how bacteria floats in the air. So it'll come into it. So unless your baby's that within 24 hours, bin it. It says on my pouch, consume within 24 hours. If once opened.
Oh, I can't wait to start again.
It took me 7 months kind of to, I mean, I'm not saying I'm the greatest nutritionist, and I'm not saying that, you know, what I say goes. Everybody's got their own opinion on stuff, but I've tested it on the baby and I've seen how it's worked on him. And Jackson's never had one mark. He got sick in October, but that was purely due to the weather and everybody was sick. But he's never had reflux. He's never had anything wrong with his poo. He's never had anything. And it's purely down to the...
What's the name of the brand of food?
Super cool food. I wanted to make it so it's child friendly. I didn't want this big, you know, boring brand. I wanted it to be colourful and vibrant. I'd like to think that's what my personality is like.
Yeah, girl.
I love kids. I love working with them. I want to make them healthy.
Okay, so before we finish off, can we finish it with your top 5 tips for someone who's out there who's wanting more energy, wanting to get the most out of the training and just feel better about themselves?
Yep. Drink your water at least 2 to 3 litres a day. Eat your fruit. Eat some veg. Sleep rest. It's very important. Your sleep and your rest is very important for growth and to reboot your body as well. No one can survive on zero sleep. We know that we're mums. They're the five things, honestly. It's not a major. So it's just water.
Eat greens.
Eat your greens. Or anything. Eat your fruits and veggies.
Sleep.
And rest, yeah. Go for a walk and switch off and just get your minds, yeah, because there's a lot of things talking about anxiety and depression, and it can be related to food as well. You know what it's like when you're depressed?
God,
you eat crap, you feel like crap. You eat good, you feel good. It's the feel-good factor.
Yeah.
Oh, Sarah, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, babe.
Okay, so at the end of each episode, we are going to answer a few of your questions about anything health, fitness, gym related. So if you've got any for us, send us a little message on Instagram or on Twitter at Gail Gay Gym. So our first question.
Our first one is, let me just read the little message we got on Instagram from Vicky T or Vic It. I don't know which one it is. But she sent us a message saying...
Vic It.
Yeah, it's either Vicky T or Vic It. I don't know which one it is. Anyway, she said, I love yous. Listened to every podcast while lying on a sun lounger like a in Lanzarote. Fully motivated for when I'm back, though. Just wish I could hang around with yous. Yous are hysterical. Okay, so we've got a question from Matty P from Leicester. And he said, when you're doing a workout, does it matter if you do weights first or cardio first?
Is he talking about in one go or in general?
Well, I'm guessing it just means if he's doing a workout and it's going to combine both, it doesn't matter what order it's done. It all goes down to what his goal is. But at the end of the day, it's all about the way we're talking to most people on here. It's about calories, isn't it?
Yeah, sometimes, I mean, it's to not be honest.
It doesn't matter whether it's first or last.
Loads of people say to you, do your cardio at the end so that you've got your strength for your workout and that you've got more energy for your weight training. You can do bigger lifts, better lifts, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes I do spin before I weight train, don't I? Because it gets like my heart rate up.
And it just loosens you up,
ready. Yeah, it loosens me up. Yeah. But it honestly depends on your goal. But I'd say if it's for weight loss, I don't think it matters particularly the order you do it in, as long as you are giving yourself, doing a proper effort and you're in a calorie deficit.
I'd just say it doesn't, to me, I'd say it doesn't matter. Just work out and do it.
Okay, so we've got quite a sciencey question for this one. Someone's dropped us a message saying, what should my heart rate be when I'm working out? The easiest way to work it out is 220 minus whatever your age is. So for Richie, it'd be 220 minus 65.
I've got nothing to even say back to this.
But as long as you feel comfortable with it, you know what I mean? Because loads of people, when I was pregnant, were saying, oh, you know, you need your heart rate can't go to this, your heart rate can't go to that. I think as long as you feel comfortable, you can still breathe.
if you can still breathe.
You're all right. You know, keep an eye on it.
And there's a defib close to hand.
Yeah, keep an eye on it. But 220 minus your age and you should be fine.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Men Not Boys.
Hey, I'm Rachel Rhodes, and you might know me from the radio or from Ibiza Weekender. And despite being on a reality TV show for two whole summers surrounded by gorgeous tanned men in shorts, I've got an ongoing problem. I am always single, and I've been racking my brains to work out what's been going oh so wrong. Of course, there's one common denominator, boys. I keep getting messed around by them, and all I want is a real man. Now, in my new podcast, Men Not Boys, me and my best mate, Melissa Reeves, we have a couple of glasses of wine and discuss all the gory details about our past relationships. This is a straight talking, no nonsense, scout siren chat. These are real life stories which actually happened to us, and we are very honest. Maybe a little bit too much at times. So if you're easily offended, or an ex, or my dad, this may not be the podcast for you.
Men Not Boys from Sound Rebel. Subscribe now so you never miss an episode.